Despite all the amazing advances we've made as LGBT people, many of us feel lonelier than ever. And even though the internet is tying us all together in a big pink bow, a lot of these digital friendships are virtual and not brick and mortar relationships that stand the test of time.
Today, we're taking a look at why some gay guys are feeling like they're trapped at the bottom of a rainbow well, while everyone else is having a lovely party. Our guest today is cruise director, drag queen Alex Kay, who likes to pair up lonely folks at the bar so she doesn't have to deal with their bullshit.
Join us for this on all the hot news. The Orlando City Stadium puts 49 rainbow-colored seats in honor of the people who died at the Pulse Massacre in Orlando.
Producers of When We Rise are blaming the show's low ratings on young gays who aren't interested in their LGBT history.
RuPaul's Drag Race moves to VH1.
And a mannequin catches an alleged murderer.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Right now, you're listening to Feast of Fun because for the last 13 years, a listener just like you took the time to support this one-of-a-kind in-depth programming. We have awesome t-shirts in our store inspired by great moments on our podcast. Check them out at feastoffun.com/store.
Wait. Filling you with cum.
Oh, that's gross.
Keeps you on your knees.
How does that go, Alex?
I was like, filling you with cum keeps you on your knees, barely even by. Now you're fucking guys unexpectedly.
Beauty and the Beast is here today. Alex Kay, a drag queen who's a little bit sporty, a little bit spice, and everything nice. She feels that she's a little too popular for all the children's in the club scene, and so she wants to play cruise director and pair off the lonely gays, the lonely hearts, and make new friends. Welcome back to Feast of Fun.
Hi, I'm so excited to be back. I love this show.
I love you.
I love you guys. It's fun. We always have such a good time.
Are we friends?
I would say we're friends.
Let me see your nails. Oh, mine aren't as nice as yours.
Really? I feel like mine are kind of shitty because I play volleyball and like all I do is just use my hands for everything, like interpreting.
What's the worst part about playing volleyball?
Is removing all that cum out of your ass when you're done. This show's getting so raunchy and
it's
so dirty.
Raunchy. I mean, we're gonna talk about such serious subjects, but yes. I guess we're not gonna.
Well, you always gotta pepper it with a little bit of fun, you know. Yeah. We can't get too serious.
Yeah. Well, the thing is like you wrote to me like about 2 weeks ago. I was trying to get you in the studio earlier, but it didn't work out. About how a lot of people you feel like that you've been talking to out in the bars and people that you've been talking to on hookup apps are really they're just kind of very lonely, mm-hmm. and they feel disenfranchised and they don't aren't making real connections. And then this article came out in the HuffPost about like how we've gotten gay rights now and we have marriage equality and stuff like that. So why are people still so lonely? You know, why are they not making those kind of connections? And then this one guy goes into a long story and talks to all his friends who a lot of people are like, well, they're just kind of like affluent gay white men who just sit around and do meth all the time. And maybe that's the problem.
I don't see anything wrong with that picture.
It just... I can see where the article was coming, like where he's coming from, and he makes some good points, but yeah, he's only encompassing like white affluent gays who are probably masculine presenting, who live in metropolitan areas, and they're probably honestly circuit queens. It's what it sounds like. They're circuit queens.
Sounds like the cast of the season two of The Gay Bachelor on Logo. Is there going to be a second season?
I think, yes, they're actually casting because I saw somebody say that they were going to casting. Now, they also have a new TV show coming out about called Fire Island. So they've got a bunch of guys in a house. And it looks like most of them are like Instagram stars.
Fun.
The A-list gays are now on TV to rival the A-list drag queens on RuPaul's Drag Race. And meanwhile, everybody else is with lonely. A broken heart and lonely. And so what inspired you just kind of wanting to present this idea to the audience here, Alex?
So I found that more and more I'm meeting people, especially through apps like Grindr, Tinder, But just even when I'm out, even it happened at Taco Bell, like I was eating with one of my drag sisters and someone was like, I want gay friends. Help me.
Aww. Was this a drunk straight girl?
No, it's a drunk guy. He's gay. We're friends now.
So it worked.
It worked.
Well, you remember when you were kids and you'd sit next to somebody in class or at the playground and be like, can we be friends? That still works, right?
It's sort of. The thing is, you have to put in the effort, right?
Like,
I was explaining to you before, my best friend now, we met on Tinder and went on a date. Well, I thought we were going on a date. Mm. And it turns out he just really wanted to meet other gay people, wanted to have friends in the community. And at first I was so pissed off. I was like, you do not go out with me and make me think we're, you know, dating. And then, I don't know, just like turn around and say, oh, I just want to be best friends. Like I need a new best friend. So I was over it, but he was really persistent and kept inviting me out. And I realized we had a lot in common and now we're really close friends and I've gone to visit him in Europe. And yeah,
you showered and douched for that date and it was all.
Well, were you disappointed that it wasn't going to be romance? I mean,
at first, because you know, when you meet someone through an app like that, mm-hmm. the expectation is to either hook up with them or to date them. I mean, those are the, generally the two reasons why you use those apps. But now, I mean, I'm going through Grindr and it's like, I really need friends. I just moved here. I really need friends. Mm-hmm. And even like people that I've hooked up with, they're like, they want to like hang out with me later. Not in like a romantic way. They're like, I don't know. I don't really go out to the bars and I feel like, you know, what's going on. Like, I don't know, like, if you're doing anything sometime soon, do you want to hang out? And I'm like, I kind of already have friends.
Well, you're a queen about town, and like what I like about you is that you have a good head on your shoulders, you have a good education, you have a good job.
Thank you.
You pay for your own drag.
I do, yes.
And you've managed sort of to cross that line from fan to participant, and for me, one of the problems that I see, especially when things get really popular because of television shows, mm-hmm. is that you start getting tourists. Mm-hmm. And now we have this phenomena of drag tourists, people who go to bars to see drag shows because they're hoping to become friends with the next girl on Drag Race.
I call them drag adjacents because mm-hmm. they're just like a little bit adjacent to us. Like we're doing our thing and they're always just right there.
But that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
in a way, it can be. In a way, fans are really important. But then sometimes because we're very accessible, right? Like I'm in the club right there. And after the show, I'm going to get off the stage and I'm going to be right next to you. We can take a picture. I can give you a hug. Drag queens are very accessible entertainers. And so people sometimes go a little too far thinking that, that means like we're now instantly best friends. That we instantly want to know everything about them and that like they can just be in every part of our lives. And sometimes you just want a little bit of a line with people. Mm-hmm. But of course, you know, there are people who come to shows that I've known for a long time. We're established friends. But there are those moments where I'm like, whoa, like we just met. Like, give it some time.
Like there's a little privilege there. Like they expect a lot from
the relationship. Yeah, there's a high expectation. And I love that they're there. I'm so thankful that they like my drag and that they came to the show. That's the greatest compliment. But sometimes it's a little overwhelming.
Don't you come across a little bit like, I'm so popular. I have so many people want to be my friend. Oh my God, get away.
I think sometimes it comes off that way, and drag kind of promotes that, right? Like be confident, mm-hmm. be everything. You show up and you are the shit. And sometimes it does get to your head a little bit, and sometimes you're like, yeah, everyone does want to be my friend. I'm really cool.
Yeah, because I heard that Lucy Stuhl is like sold out completely now. And it's,
what does that mean?
If she's no longer a queen for the people, then she's like,
no, that was Bob's.
She's
was
all,
Bob's
she's
queen
all
of,
about
the
business
people.
Now. She has her own line of dildos.
Hey, I mean, those are really cute. They're pastel.
Butt plugs, yeah.
Butt plugs and cock rings.
So she's no longer a shitty queen. She's
plugging that shit up.
Yeah.
I love them. They're like purple
Available
and pink and all swirly. They're adorable.
Have you gotten fucked with one of Lucy Stuhl's dildos yet?
I haven't. Usually I just have sex with people.
When I saw those, I was like, this queen has lost her fucking mind.
No, that was perfect because who else is doing it?
Yeah.
It's ingenious. Who else is making it?
You know, there are ways to get publicity, but, you know, selling your own line of purple dildos and butt plugs is not one of them, is it?
Know. It's totally on brand for her. That's her color scheme. She's like a very open sexual person. I don't know. I thought it was genius, but I guess, well,
So for people who are wondering who the hell is Lucy Stuhl, she was on our Kickstarter video for Cooking with Drag Queens. We're trying to make taffy.
Oh, and it just never turned out.
And it
out.
Never gelled. And poor
we
Lucy Stuhl.
We should have just made blood pugs.
Just use the taffy and turn it
and
into
sweet
a toy.
Lucy Stuhl was here till like 2 in the morning. We're like, we can get this right. No, really, we can do it. We can do it. And she's like, ugh.
These people.
And so something snapped, I think, when we kept her up till 2 in the morning trying to make rainbow taffy.
Was it the taffy that snapped?
I don't know. She has these butt plugs, these dildos and stuff. And I'm like, and I saw her the other day. I was like, how are those selling? She's like, we're sold out.
Yeah. See, it was a great idea. People wanted it.
But I wonder if it's like, you know, like the corporate marketing 101. It's like to release a product and then make it limited in availability so everyone wants one but they can't have one.
I mean, were they that limited, or are people complaining that they couldn't get one?
I think, you know, if she's onto something, she's gonna be super fucking rich. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
hey, more power to her.
Because like Cici LaRue, you know, who's this porn mogul,
had to do a Kickstarter to pay for her rehab.
Yeah, so I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
Shit, son.
You know, it's like, well, I shouldn't be laughing at somebody's substance abuse. But you'd think after all those porno movies you made, you would have had. But then the other thing, too, is like when you abuse substances, a lot of that goes up your nose. I'm not here to judge. So just, you know, it's whatever you want to do, do it. And own it and love it.
Sorry, we're talking about dildos. We love dildos, Lucy Stuhl. Go buy Lucy Stuhl's dildos.
How many minutes are we into this? And we already turned the whole conversation from friendship to dildos.
Well, the other thing about this kind of thing, though, too, is like he was kind of the one author from the Huffington Post was saying that that there's kind of like a toxicity in the gay community where we're bitchy, evil queens.
Yeah, I have a quote from this.
So let's do the quote. What's that quote?
Yeah, so, there's this first quote, which I love.
You know, is Michael Hobbs is the author.
So there's like, you grow up with this loneliness, accumulating all this baggage, and then you arrive in the Castro or Chelsea or Boys Town, thinking you'll finally be accepted for who you are, and then you realize that everyone else here has baggage too. And all of a sudden, it's not your gayness that gets you rejected, it's your weight or your income or your race, which this last sentence is actually pretty good because he talks about, like, yes, it's like racist, and there's a lot of fat shaming, and people pretend like they have more money than they really do. And then it goes on to say, gay men in particular are just not very nice to each other. In pop culture, drag queens are known for their takedowns, and it's all,
Well, that's Velvet Rage, honey, you know?
It's like, but what?
At the same time, hold on a second.
We grow up, and we're so abused constantly, and there's so many microaggressions against us that sometimes it has a profound impact on who we are and how we relate to this world.
Microaggressions and Velvet Rage aside, do not discontinue the effect that a queen who saved all her life so she can live in the Castro, one of the first things she sees is Heclina and Peaches Christ walking around out of drag.
The thing is,
was there a punchline there?
If it's funny, it's you can laugh. part of it is you know, if you can afford to go to San Francisco, if you can afford to go to Greenwich Village, you know, a lot of LGBT people all around the world and in the United States, they never get out of, they're trapped in their own town. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause they can't, a lot of times, you know, they're stuck in these small towns or mid-sized towns and they can't necessarily get out cause they don't necessarily can find a good job to make money cause they're already discriminated against for being queer or trans or whatever.
Yeah. Well, so you got to suck your way to those meccas, and then you get to those meccas and you got a cafe floor and you can't even get a table.
Well, and they talk about this meanness, right? And the thing is, I can tell the author is really trying to say there are all these sassy femme gays who are going to talk shit about you. And
they're talking about you mostly.
Yeah.
You know, everyone hates me.
No, you're the one who's the sassy.
Talking about drag queens.
Yeah.
Am I too loud?
What?
No, don't play with the cords.
Oh, sorry.
You rupture the fibers.
I'm so sorry.
It's all right. Don't worry about it.
You're the mean girl. They instantly who's talking trash about people behind their back.
Yeah, they instantly go after drag queens. And the thing is, they don't see how much like we support each other behind the scenes. Because in the other article, which we'll talk about, but that addresses like you don't see like the drag queen who's working the lights and fixing things and like helping zip a girl up backstage so she can go on.
It takes a village to dress a queen.
It's not the feminine presence that's hurting people. It's mm-hmm. it's this keeping up with this idea of masculinity, and it's people who probably do not have as much inherent masculinity as they're trying to show, and they're just bottling up all of their inherent femininity, and that's what's causing them to be so angry and aggressive and mean, because they really want to celebrate mm-hmm. their femininity and be who they are, but they're just instead just insulting each other.
Aren't we sort of, you know how gay men can absorb homophobia and internalize it?
Mm-hmm.
We can also internalize other things like the battle of the sexes. And so we have a battle of the sexes between the masculine gays and the gays that embrace or are sissies, you know, or feminine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's totally a lot of like sexism that I think gay men have learned from watching heterosexual men, like how they treat women, and they take that and then they apply it to how they treat feminine men.
Mm-hmm.
That happens all the time. I mean, it's how people like will flirt
they
with
just
me.
Grab you by the pussy, right?
Yeah, they'll grab me and they just assume I want things from them, and they talk to me in a certain way that I feel so uncomfortable. I mean, I have had people like at bars before. Like this bathroom doesn't like the way the bathroom set up isn't like this anymore. But it was at a bar a few years ago, and there was only one little way to get out, and this guy like blocked the way and was like pretty much hitting on me, and I was like, this is terrifying. Get out of my fucking way.
You were dressed in drag?
No, I wasn't even in drag. This is before I was a drag queen. Mm-hmm. Just like the way men approach other gay men who perceive as being, because I'm generally physically smaller and more feminine or in full drag, which is funny. I'm actually more masculine when I'm in full drag.
I don't know about that, Alex.
I would agree with you.
I look like a big woman in drag, and I look like a very tiny man.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'6".
Yeah, so you pass for women. You could if you really wanted to do fish.
If I wear sleeves, definitely.
Yeah.
But you're also like, you lift weights, you do push-ups, you know, you have six-pack abs. You're sort of a part of the, not just the A-list gays, but also the A-list queens. And so you're coming from a place of privilege in the sense that you sort of have all, you have a good job, you have a roof over your shoulders, a roof over your head.
My shoulders are under my head, so yeah, it's over my shoulders too.
You got all your shit done, and for you, it's like the biggest issue is like whether to go to Taco Bell or Taco Cabana.
I wouldn't like simplify it to that. Yeah. I definitely live in this in-between world where I get to play with gender a lot. I'm very lucky. I have a face that's very feminine, but it has parts about it that are masculine, so I can really do it up in drag and really present that full femme if I want it. I can live my femme fantasy. I can cloak my body in ways to make it more shapeless, make it look more feminine. But if I want to, because I do work out, I can make it appear more masculine. I have that privilege to choose my gender presentation, which not a lot of people have. But there are other things I can't change, like my inherent femininity and the fact that like I am still a drag queen and that I am, you know, I am 5'6" and my face looks the way it does and I cannot grow a beard, you know.
So, Alex, do you feel like some people are befriending you because they think you're auditioning for Drag Race and you're going to be on season 10 and, you know, you and I are going to be in the top three and we're going to have to pretend to like each other?
No, I think it's just that people see drag queens and they see the confidence that we're putting out there and they want some of that. They want to feel that level of confidence because they don't. I mean, that's why I loved drag. Like before I did drag, I went to drag shows because they were confident and happy and I wanted to be that confident and happy.
Is that what it was? Was confidence and happiness? Because to me, it was always the outrageousness or the ridiculousness or just the fun of it all.
Well, that too. I mean, there's just so many good things about it. I'm obsessed with drag. I love drag. And
when we started podcasting, people were like, why the hell are you doing it? Even Logo wouldn't touch us because we were doing interviews with drag queens.
And they're like, why would you have so many drag queens on your show? I mean, why? I'm like, because drag queens are entertainers. What else about the, because you screen capped a lot of quotes from this article.
I did.
Let's look into some more of that article.
So you guys are not loving this guy. Or you feel like he's kind of...
Well, I think he has
He starts the conversation
and he does talk. And there is an epidemic of loneliness among a lot of people. And a lot of people are feeling disenfranchised. My mother's elderly. She feels very lonely. And I also know other... And there's been times in my life where I've felt like really, really lonely. And so this is happening. But you have to... We kind of look at the reasons as to why that's happening and why this person hasn't found a community. Now, part of it, too, is like he says that many of his friends have gotten into meth use. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, especially gay men, they looked at them and said, hey, why do you do this math? And a lot of them, they do it because it allows them to have the kind of sex that they want to have. It somehow gives them the permission to make that kind of connection. But also, too, like when you talk about people that are addicted to drugs, one of the worst things you can do is socially isolate them, because that can also make the addiction even worse. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of, instead of isolating them, you want to involve them more into your life and more into the community. And you'll see places like Portugal that has decriminalized all drugs, that the people there,
even heroin,
they have a low use of drugs because the people feel like it's not taboo, and then they can also get the help that they need.
Yeah, if you take away the taboo and you take away the stigma, then the people who are abusing it, because abuse comes from this like sense of almost shame a little bit, and a sense of worthlessness, and if we take away people's sense of worthlessness, then they won't feel the need to do it as much. And I find, you know, more than, I mean, I know there's a lot of people who are doing meth, but I find alcohol is a very common abuse among the gay community.
Oh, yeah, meanwhile, you know, let's talk about La Ganja. It's not the drag queen, but
weed.
The weed, you know, it's like, wow. We need to legalize that yesterday. And it's like part of it, you know, like it's not just a painkiller, and all these people are like addicted to prescription opioids. You know, we sort of like, you know, demonize meth and heroin. But most people are addicted to, you know, Rush Limbaugh's favorite drug, OxyContin. You know, and to me, it's a level of hypocrisy that we're dealing in. The reason this stuff is like walled off is because the alcohol lobby, the pharmaceutical lobby, the tobacco lobby, and the prison lobby is all wanting to keep us away from being able to control and take care of ourselves. I'm sorry. Go with your lines.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because we're going towards that, right? You're talking about isolation and how that can promote drug use. Mm-hmm. And they talk about rejection, like rejection from other gay people feels like losing your only way of making friends and finding love. So being pushed away from your own people hurts more because you need them more.
And that's part of the reason, too, is like he doesn't really delve into like what's the rejection going on there. He's like, he keeps talking kind of like these mean gays.
Yeah.
And like there's a cattiness to it. And again, it's like, you know, that velvet rage, which a lot of people do have. And there is something there. You know, gay men can be really mean to each other.
Yeah. That goes on to talk.
Why is it like some people, because I've observed this sometimes, is that, you know, in a workplace environment or in a social environment, if you're like the only gay in the village or the only gay in the office or so, and there's another gay person there, sometimes the other gay person there is the most hostile and distant person there, because they're like,
you're going to suck the cocks I want.
I carved this niche for myself, and I feel like in some ways you're threatening my identity and my space.
Yeah, it's like competition opposed to like an alliance and a support system.
And that's very much like David and from Little Britain, the only gay in the village. Like you mark your territory.
Oh, here's another quote about it. The challenges of masculinity get magnified in the community of men. Masculinity is precarious. It has to be constantly enacted or defended or collected. We see this in studies. You can threaten masculinity among men and then look at the dumb things they do. They show more aggressive posturing. They start taking financial risks. They want to punch things. And then it goes on to say this helps explain the pervasive stigma against feminine guys in the gay community. According to Dane Wicker, a clinical psychologist and researcher at Duke, most gay men report that they want to date someone masculine and that they wish they acted more masculine themselves, which I mean, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we've heard this a million times.
Mask for mask.
Yeah. And so, you know, then it's like talking about how masculine men can blend into straight society.
But isn't this like somebody complaining that they're in an all you can eat buffet and there's nothing, and they're not hungry and there's nothing appetizing for them? Well, meanwhile, there's people starving in other parts of the world. And you know, is this loneliness true for people of color, or Latinos, or people of immigrant heritage, you know, who's part of their family has just immigrated to this country. And so you kind of have to really stick mm-hmm. together, because mm-hmm. otherwise, if you're isolated so much, it's really a life or death aspect and not just a quality of life issue.
Well, Ben Miller wrote for Slate because he kind of did it, because everybody shared that one, that article from mm-hmm. the Huffington Post. Like, it resonated with a lot of people. And so Ben Miller wrote for the Slate. He wrote his gay loneliness is real, but bitchy toxic culture isn't the full story. And he's trying to say that, like, listen, yeah, there is that aspect of this community, but you're also focusing on, you know, these cisgendered, mainly white men that live in these affluent areas. But really, there's whole communities out there, you know, radical fairies, drag queens, sisters of perpetual indulgence. You know, these, like, you belong to a sports team. There's yeah. all sorts of places out there where you can find community and where people support and love each other. The theater, all these kinds of places.
Exactly.
And so it's like you're just looking at this kind of this narrow place, and you're blaming the gayness on it. But are you really addressing what the real issue is there?
And what is the real issue at the heart of it? Is that people want to have this, you know, life of luxury, or they want to have this life of privilege? Well, and because they're not able to connect to that, they're just mm-hmm. giving up on mm-hmm. all the other options.
Ben says that he would suggest the root of their unhappiness wasn't evil sex radicals or unrestructured sissies, but the impossible situation contemporary gays find ourselves in. The promise of acceptance and tolerance if we force ourselves into relationship models that often chafe. The way that the rights of access to straight institutions like military service and marriage have divided us from our queer and trans sisters and siblings. And so also the gentrification of our community spaces, and the things of just, you know, you're trying to fit yourself into these little models and these little boxes mm-hmm. that you don't have to fit yourself into. You're restricting yourself.
I tell people all the time, you create your own idea of success. And for a while, I was trying to follow other people's idea of success. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that that was never going to work for me. And if you try to model yourself after people who do not look like you, who do not have the same, or like who have more money than you, or mm-hmm. whatever, they're in these certain situations, and you try to model your life after that, you will never be happy. Mm-hmm. You will never be successful because you are not that person. Mm-hmm. But when you decide that success looks different to you, and then you, in something that you can achieve, mm-hmm. and then you achieve it, you can experience that happiness, but you have to completely shift what people are telling you and what, unfortunately, often the gay community tells you is successful, and throw that out the window and start again. And for me, that was like, I mean, like doing drag and, you know, not caring about whether or not I was in a relationship, and not caring about if I was making a certain level of money, and not worrying about, like, at this point, because, you know, I'm the butch queen, that's the joke, but I'm pretty much at a point where I don't really want to modify my body anymore. Like, I've been working out for so long and modifying who I am as a person, and that is really hard on your mind mentally. You go through a lot of, like, body dysmorphia. And I'm at a point where I'm like, you know what? I'm happy with where I'm at, and I'm going to stay here. And when people ask,
your tits could be bigger.
But people say that. That's the thing. It's like, and people make little comments like, but don't you want to be bigger? Like, don't you want to be more attractive? I'm like, why can't I just be attractive like this?
You're attractive. I'm just kidding.
Thank you.
Fuck me.
But it's little things like that. You have to change your idea of what beauty means. And then once you have that in your mind, that something that you can achieve, then you will be happy and you will feel beautiful. You know, once you figure out different career goals, you don't have to have a doctorate and, you know, be at the top of a Fortune 500 mm-hmm. company. That's someone else's success. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be the star of a reality television show to be successful. I'm very happy mm-hmm. being a middle of the road drag queen who gets to have fun and do fun shows with my friends. You know what I mean? It can be happy. About.
And it's one of those things kind of too, is like this guy, it seemed like his friends were all kind of the same and they were in that same kind of position. And you really want to expand your horizons. If you take a picture of you and your friends, and if your friends all look alike, chances are you're miserable. And then you're just like, you definitely need some more diversity in your life.
I wish that if I took a selfie with all my friends, that most of us had, like, you know, six pack abs and our fingers up each other's butts. But I don't know what that feels like. I've never had that experience, you know?
You'll never be Steve Grand, Fausto.
But, you know, like when we take pictures of us and our friends mm-hmm. and, you know, people go like, there's the Adams family. You know, and to me, I'm like, I find that a huge compliment.
Or the Munsters. I'm Marilyn.
Yeah. I mean, one of the good points in the article is like, mm-hmm. hey.
Is this from Slate?
Or this is, sorry.
Or the
is it the rebuttal or the whining?
The rebuttal. Okay, the rebuttal.
Emphasis on the butt.
It's said to, you know, make friends with people who aren't pretty much the people from the first article, you know?
Yeah.
Because those are the people who are going to be probably more honest and really who they are. They're not going to be putting on a front. Mm-hmm. They're going to be more confident in that person, and they're not living in that realm. And so, I mean, the people I spend time with are not those A-list gays. I spend time with all of my drag sisters and my femme friends and my club kid friends and just that whole realm of people. Those are my people because I feel connected with them.
I mean, there's a reason why they started making, you know, the skinny tall Barbie and the short fat Barbie and the Latina Barbie and the black Barbie, because diversity is, it feels good. It's a good lesson to teach young children. And when you play with all the paint with all the crayons in the box, as RuPaul likes to say, you have a much more richer, colorful experience.
Yeah, you learn other people's experiences and you stop being selfish. You stop seeing yourself as this amazing. I mean, it's not that you stop being confident, but you're more realistic, you know.
But I'm going to say that some queens, I think, are a little bit guilty of also hanging out with other drag queens of the same age and background and popularity levels, and and sometimes, like, you know, we always sort of criticize the gay guys with abs that go on cruise ships that look like Steve Grand, you know.
Yeah.
But there's also, you know, you can also criticize people who are like only with the muscle bears or only with the popular drag queens who perform at this one club, you know, or the, you know what I'm saying?
Clicks, so any the kind clicks, of clicks.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's this, I mean, and unfortunately, no matter how much, you know, we promote diversity, people are going to find people who remind them of themselves and they're going to connect with them probably faster than someone who's the complete opposite. So, yes, people are going to pair up. But if you're conscious of it, if you're not doing it on purpose, but you're doing it because you're genuinely making connections with people, there's nothing wrong in that. But you should still be open minded.
If your friends all look like you, you're a fucking asshole. Just kidding.
Well, people say we look alike.
Yeah, I know.
But I made a horrible
mistake.
Fausto and I didn't look alike when we first started.
No, I've seen pictures. We? You guys look nothing alike when you first met, but now.
Mark and I, you know, I'm from Puerto Rico. I'm a Latino person. Mm. You know, I'm a drag queen. I'm an artist. Mark is a Catholic bisexual guy from Erie, Pennsylvania. You know, we have very different backgrounds and we complement each other. And people who actually know us, even though, you know, I would say to a lot of African Americans, we look like brothers. We look like twins because you know, they're like, excuse me, are you guys brothers? And we're like, maybe
we are.
And then we start making out.
We went to the Lebanese restaurant. I ordered something and he's just like, I was at the counter. He's just like, do you have a brother? I'm like, I do. He goes, he orders the same thing. And I'm just like, yeah.
That's called convergence, too. And that convergence is a different
harmonization.
It's harmonization is not convergence. Convergence is like when two things evolve to look the same but aren't the same thing. Harmonization is when you, as human beings, we instinctually develop tribes in order to survive. And so we start imitating subconsciously the mannerisms and the diets and the dress and the behaviors and the tastes of the people around us. And so when straight guys get out of drama school and go to LA to look for jobs, one of the things they have to do is wash away the gay accent that they've picked up from their gay friends.
Mm. Does that really happen?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. In Hollywood,
they have a lot of people that teach the young men how to sound more masculine.
Well, I knew that was a thing, like teaching people how to sound more masculine, but I didn't know that like this was
here. Practice with me, Alex. Open your throat up. Like you're going to take a big cock in it. Okay. Open your mouth wide and go like,
hello. Hi, I'm Alex Kay.
Sam, we have to kill that Wendigo.
Yeah. What are we going to do tonight?
I sound dumb when I try. I don't know. I can only do it if I'm yelling. Like if someone touches me at the club. Do you want me to, I'll come away from the mic and do it. But when someone touches me at the bar, I'm like, you want to fucking die? And that's like my voice I do.
Oh, it got me so horny.
I'm like, don't fucking touch me.
Oh, Alex, are we going to have fun tonight?
That's when the Butch Queen comes out.
So the big news out there really is that Drag Race has moved.
That's the big news? I thought it was Trump resigning or something like
No, no. Not in the gay world.
I was like, oh my God, Trump resigned. Yay.
So for those of you that don't know, RuPaul's Drag Race is a TV show that has the drag queens. And it's the world's biggest TV show with drag queens. And it used to always be on Monday nights on Logo. And people would go out to the bars to watch it because nobody has Logo in their house. And now it's changed. It has moved over to VH1. And then the next week it'll air on Logo, like on Thursday night or something like that. And then, but so VH1 Logo is all owned by MTV, which is owned, you know, like by Viacom. And so a lot of people are like, what is going on? Why did it switch channels?
Rest in peace, Logo. Mm.
I didn't even think it was alive to begin with.
Well, it's not dead yet because they'll have the Fire Island gays. You know, all the gays.
Rest in peace, Logo. Season two of the Gay Bachelor, was it Finding Prince Charming?
And then the reruns of Golden Girls.
Reruns of Golden Girls and this new Fire Island show.
Mm-hmm.
Ay, Dios mío, ¿qué pasó? Estamos a la quiebra. Ay, Dios.
But I feel bad, you know, for a lot of these drag queens, because like Monday night is a hard night to get people to come out to see a show. But because Drag Race is on, people would go out to the bars.
Like I would always go out and the bars would be full.
Yeah. And so now not so much. And now it's going to be on Friday nights. And I'm wondering if some bars, are they even going to show Drag Race?
Let me even lay this on you. When they want to kill a TV show off, they move it to Friday nights.
No. That's what I was thinking, too. Friday nights is usually a death slot. But
I don't think, you know what it is, though? I think that they're really trying to appeal to young teenage girls. And young teenage girls are probably more apt to watch a TV show on Friday night with drag queens when their parents are away rather than a Monday. Because Monday they might have schoolwork, they've got other things to do. But Friday they might be at home babysitting their younger brothers and sisters, just hanging out.
Do you think because, like, okay, gays are known to party, so, right, they can get people in the bars at 8 p.m. to watch the show, and then they'll just stay in the bar because they're already out.
On Friday?
On Friday.
Are people at the bar already at 8 o'clock or no?
Not the gays. They're there at midnight.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, but they can get the straight people in the bar. But then the gays are going to go because we're not paying for a Logo. So then we're going to be there at 8, and then we're like, well, we're already here. We already got a drink to, like, you know, watch the show. I guess I'll just stay out here the rest of the night. And so in that aspect, it could help some bars, like they could start their night a little earlier and make more profit on Fridays. But I just feel like this is going to hurt a lot, especially small town bars or drag queens who, like, that was their gig.
Right. Like, what's Dixie Lynn Cartwright going to do for her career now that she's not hosting a Monday night?
She's from the suburbs on Twitter.
People are like, who?
But also, like, my favorite little bar, like, that we watch is right down the street. And it's, like, their Monday night. And it was, like, the call was, like, one of the only nights we'd go in there. It was on a Monday. Or we'd go on, like, the weekends to see a drag show. But it was just, like, it was nice to be able to just walk a block to a gay bar and have people there on a Monday night.
Remember when I said that the window was going to close? It closed for you, not me.
But, you know, in some ways it's a great move because it's going to be on a channel that actually people have. So the viewership will go up, which is great.
Yeah. And so people watch more Drag Race and all those season 8 and below girls are like, damn you.
I know, right? It's going to be like the star-bellied Sneetches, the ones with one star on their belly or they have no star on their belly. And it's like they're going to be like, you were on
star-bellied Sneetches?
From Dr. Seuss. Don't you remember? They had little...
I got to Google
even
that.
Even I know that.
Yeah. You do?
Yeah.
Some had stars on theirs.
I'm butter bread battle book.
No, so some of them had like a star on their belly and so they didn't like the ones that didn't have a star on their belly. And so this is going to be kind of like with the Drag Race because some of them are just kind of like, I mean, the season 1 girls are already looked down upon. Now they're even Tatiana. Like lower on the cast.
Think about how Tatiana was like, there was an interview or something.
Tatiana who?
Thank you.
Where they were talking about being on tour and she's like, oh, I'm usually just at my home bar in DC. Like, because she was on season 2 and the girls on season 2 don't always tour as much as the girls who've been on 5 through 8 at this point. Mm-hmm. So All Stars, I mean, that revamped her drag completely because everyone got to see how much work she put in. Mm-hmm. And now she's, you know, going on tour. She's she's being able to do a lot more.
Soon. Cooking with Drag Queens, All Stars.
Yeah. What the hell? What are you talking about?
I'm just kidding.
But it's a big deal. Because, some of the girls from the earlier seasons, I mean, I talk to my friends and they're like, oh, I love Drag Race. And so I, you know, talk about things that have happened in any of the seasons. Like, oh, well, I only watched season 8. I'm like, okay. So you've been introduced to Drag Race, but there's so much history behind it. And there's so much more than just the one recent season.
Yeah. RuPaul, for I guess for a long time, was banned from the Oprah Winfrey show for being a difficult guest. And he made a guest appearance on Rosie's show, which was a follow up to Oprah's show that was taped in the same studio. But RuPaul and Oprah have not interacted with each other for decades. And it was a big gossip in the entertainment scene. It's like, why RuPaul and Oprah don't like each other? What's going on? Well, I guess they buried the hatchet. And RuPaul is just finished taping a Where Are They Now with Oprah for the Oprah Winfrey Network. And in the interview, her RuPaul's boyfriend of 23 years, George Labar, who is 6'10".
Is he that tall?
He's really huge. Tall.
He's taller than RuPaul. Yeah.
He makes RuPaul look tiny. And so they've been filmed together, and they, the tabloid press has followed them around walking and in New York City.
Oh my God, Ru can walk.
And Ru has feet.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's just funny how serious everyone is taking this. And it's like, Ru talks about his partner on his on Ru's podcast. Like, they talk about him. And it doesn't seem like such a mystery, but the world is like, oh my God, they're being seen together.
There are very few photos of George Labar. And George is, I guess he's a wealthy Australian rancher who lives
a ranch
in
Wyoming.
Almost said Montana.
I guess did he see
Montana, one of those places. One of
those, I think it's Wyoming. Just like the Brokeback Mountain. Only, you know, RuPaul says, like, I wish I could quit you.
But with a, like, Australian accent.
No, I guess RuPaul's like, I don't know. I just try to imagine Brokeback Mountain and RuPaul's Drag Race in some unholy
fusion.
When
is he doing this? Because he already has done Where Are They Now back in 2013.
They doing one now, according to the tabloids. That's what they said.
Okay.
So who knows? They'll bring him back again, I guess. Because RuPaul, I guess, got that the Emmy, so they're all like, everyone's excited about it. There's hype.
Well, I mean, with Drag Race having the most viewers it's ever had. And All Stars being the most successful season they've ever had.
There's other rumors, and I can't say where I got this from, but I believe this is false, is that Untucked, the behind-the-scenes series that started as a podcast here, we were talking about Angel. Well, let's see. RuPaul's Drag Race was in its first season, and we were like big fan. We were interviewing a lot of the contestants from Project Runway, and one series that they had was Models of the Runway, where they showed the behind the scenes. And so we're like, we really would like to see a behind the scenes of the Drag Race contestants. And I believe one of the guests said, why don't they call it Untucked?
Yeah.
And that's what Untucked became. And so the rumors going around that Untucked has been canceled. They're no longer going to be filming it, but they're looking to have some other type of project.
I just, you know, it was kind of the flagship for the World of Wonder thing on YouTube, and it would get, what would it get, like a quarter of a million views.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, I watched,
which
all
isn't
of them.
A lot of views when you look at YouTube. It might be more now, but you know, I was brought people to the channel, and people would get interested and watch the other things. But maybe it was just too much to produce.
It's expensive. I don't know.
Television shows are expensive, even if it's just going to be on YouTube.
I mean, when they brought it to YouTube, it kind of made it more raw, made it more kind of emotional. Like at the end when they would kick the girl off, and it was like, ooh,
it was like a horror film.
It was a little spooky. And before, the original Untucked was very produced and goofy and campy. And so they probably lost some viewership when they changed to the YouTube channel.
Film noir aspect of it.
And then now that the girls don't fight anymore because they understand how reality television shows work, I just think people don't want to watch people be best friends.
This is not RuPaul's best friend race.
And last season, they all really liked each other, even though they, you know, quote unquote fought. They were all tight. I mean, they all love each other. You see it. They're constantly together, taking pictures, talking about how much they love each other.
A moment of silence for LaShawn Beyond.
Did she die?
No, but, you know.
Oh, okay.
For an acknowledgement of this is not RuPaul's best friend race.
Oh.
I don't know. It's just like those early seasons, you know, of Mimi Ann First and LaQuisha. What was her
name? Shangela LaQuisha.
Watley throwing drinks at each other, and getting into fights.
So good.
It just felt like it got into a women's prison kind of quality.
Well, this
to
might
it,
yeah. because I mean we're seeing some of these drag queens from season 8 already acting up online.
They might be combative.
You know, what is it? Banana Bonina Brown.
Nina Bonina Brown.
Whose Instagram is off the hook. If you're not subscribed to it, please subscribe to it. She won me over with her Jasmine Masters look because she somehow painted her face to look like Jasmine Masters. It was
RuPaul's Drag Race and fucked up drag.
It is. It's just, it's phenomenal. But she's been like lashing out at people online.
Can you do that one more time?
My name is Jasmine Masters and RuPaul's Drag Race at fucked up drag.
So I guess she's fighting with this girl named Meg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's not from a Family Guy. Shut up, Meg. And I guess Meg said something shady to her and then
started fat shaming her.
Yeah.
Telling her, if you can contour that 400-pound chin of yours away or something like that.
Yeah, Nina said this to Meg, right? If you can contour.
So Meg responded, darling, please don't ever come for anyone looking like the female version of the Pillsbury Doughboy. When you can lose 400 pounds off your neck, then come for me. Mm. I know you're pissed. I got on Drag Race and Eva, but didn't you'll get over it. I guess makeup skills were good enough to get me on before her, sweetie. And you should be the last to talk about anyone's makeup looking like a basic, cheap, gothic prostitute. Now have a good day and enjoy season 9.
What if I like looking like a cheap, basic, gothic prostitute? Okay, like, don't come for my gig.
I think these girls are having a little too much fun and everyone's taking a little bit too seriously.
I mean, the internet is just a monster, and if you give into it, if you feed it, it just grows and gets worse. And if you don't take it too seriously and you just enjoy the memes, you'll have a better life. Trust me. All I do is just look up stupid things on Tumblr. And I have a great time on the internet.
Nina Bonina Brown, I begged her to come do the podcast, and she's just like, I'm not good enough. Oh, no, nobody wants to hear about me. And I'm like, come on, girl.
Well, now you just got interesting.
Yeah.
Now you got controversy.
Let's kiki, darling. Even Vivacious is like pushing her to do the podcast. You know,
I love when you have Vivacious on the show.
You know that Vivacious and I talk almost every other day.
That's amazing. I mean, I hope
for hours at a time.
I mean, she's got stuff to say.
4 a.m. You have been on the phone with her since 1 o'clock in the morning. It's 5 o'clock New York time.
You just keep hearing the fan like thwomp, thwomp.
It is. I gotta say, like Lady Bunny and Vivacious are two, and you know, and Peaches Christ too. Mm-hmm. I would say.
We don't get to chat as much as we used to. I miss her. She's so busy.
She's too famous.
Girl,
now.
She's just kicking it everywhere.
Yeah, but you know, the when we form these friendships with these drag queens, mm-hmm. people think that it's kind of like character. But you know, Vivacious really is the way she comes across on the podcast and on Drag Race. Mm-hmm. She's really clever, really funny, and she's always like feels very strongly and passionate about so many things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like it's incredibly entertaining, and other times it's like. It's like overwhelming, you know, you're like,
it's refreshing because not so many people these days are as open and honest and candid. And, you know, we want
there is only one Vivacious. And the fact that she got eliminated third episode,
she'll be back for All Stars.
Why is she not on All Stars? Can we start a campaign? The audience of this podcast, start a letter writing campaign to put Vivacious on All Stars 3. God,
just like get her own show.
But if you put on Vivacious on season 3 of All Stars, don't eliminate her early, please. Don't do a Mimi I'm First. That's what I liked about this last season of All Stars is that it, you know, they savored the queens. Mm-hmm. They didn't just ditch somebody just randomly.
Yeah, I felt like I really got to appreciate them for a second time around or gain a complete new appreciation for them. Like, I'm such a Tatiana stan. I know I keep bringing her up, but it's because I love her.
Stan,
she's so beautiful.
Sounds like some sort of amino acid.
No, it's based, I think, off of... It's a slang term for an obsessive fan, I guess. It's based, I think, off of an Eminem song.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. About like an.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I just use it because
it's troll. Internet slang.
Yeah. It's internet slang. Yeah.
RuPaul's Drag Race season 9 premieres on Friday on VH1. March 24th with guest judge Lady Gaga, who is rumored to not walk. She walks in after all the queens walk in costume as a contestant.
Yeah. And so they're like all looking at her like, this bitch thinks she's Lady Gaga. And they're like, this bitch is Lady Gaga.
Yeah. Yeah. She probably has to be silent the whole time, because I'm just imagining her voice is so recognizable.
But you know what? She's listen. She's a singer. She's trained. An actress. Yeah. She can just change that voice a little bit. Yeah.
She could.
Hi, I'm Lady Baba.
She could be like, hello, my name is.
It would be smart to do almost like a higher pitch, like a trying to put on a feminine voice, because those are the ones that sound very draggy, like, oh, hello, I'm just a little drag queen. I am not a large man.
That's a pretty good Kitty Powers imitation.
Oh, yeah. What is that? Kitty Powers got a status update that said, I wish I could hug Kitty Powers.
I'm kind
Powers.
Of sad because I'm the only person in the world who can't hug Kitty Powers.
I mean, so she has arms, right? Can't she just wrap her arms around herself?
I just wrote, it's not all that it's chalked up to be, honey. And she's like, bitch.
Happy birthday to Alaska Thunderfuck.
Happy birthday to you.
She's finally 21 years old.
Aww.
Yes, girl.
She's aged out.
Yeah, she's you're getting old, honey. They asked Alaska how old she was, and she went,
wow, low blow.
What we were talking about, Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh, yeah, you go from horses to Sarah Jessica Parker.
Kim Cattrall.
Why because we're talking about mannequins, because there was a mannequin. Mannequins. A mannequin in Las Vegas has caught a killer. So, maybe an alleged killer. So there's
an inanimate object.
Yes, a mannequin. So what this is the deal. So in the past year, two homeless people in Las Vegas have been murdered, like out on the street. And so the cops set up a mannequin to be like lying down sleeping as though it were a homeless person. Oh, and a guy came over with like a hammer and with both hands swung it at the mannequin's head. And so they went and they caught him, and they like, he's in jail. And the person's saying, well, his lawyer's like, he didn't do anything. He didn't hurt anybody. But it's the same kind of way that he killed somebody else.
Damn. So the L.A. police basically...
The Las Vegas police?
The Las Vegas police set up a Roadrunner Willie Coyote trap.
A decoy.
Yeah. To trap this murderer.
Not Wile E. Coyote, because this actually worked. They actually caught him.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And they put birdseed on top of it, and they put a blanket, and they carved a hole, and the criminal came in and ate the birdseed and ran off. Yeah. And then the police got on top and fell into the hole.
Well, the guy with the hammer says that he knew it was a mannequin, but the police report says the decoy mannequin was staged in a manner which would have made it impossible for Schindler to have determined the mannequin was not a human being before he struck. Schindler struck the hammer using both arms to generate maximum force to his blow. So I'm hoping maybe someday our beautiful mannequin over here, Alita Smorgasbord, maybe someday she'll solve the murder.
That's a new cop drama. We've seen everything except a mannequin cop.
Alita Smorgasbord has solved the mystery of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2 Electric Boogaloo. People were like, is Alaska going to win? It's like, Alaska got a bad edit. And she knew the answer to it all.
Did she?
Yeah.
Yeah, did she whip her plastic head around?
Well, it's just that, you know.
And whisper in your ear?
When we were not around, Alaska leaned into her and just said, I won.
Whispered into her massive boobs.
Yeah. So Justin Timberlake, I don't know if, you know.
He's come out.
Can we consider this kind of a coming out kind of thing? So he won his, for a best song, Can't Stop the Feeling, at the iHeart Radio Music Awards. And he got up there taking his award and he said, if you are black or you are brown or you are gay or you are lesbian or you are trans or maybe you're just a sissy singing boy from Tennessee, referring to himself, anyone that is treating you unkindly, it is only because they're afraid or they have been taught to be afraid of how important you are. Being different means you're making a difference. So fuck them.
I don't think he's coming out. I think he was just saying, like, he got a lot of flack for being
a sissy boy
and being in a pop group, and he doesn't realize that, like, he's pretty much been able to take advantage of like R&B and the black community and promote his music using their techniques and what they've created. And he's completely missing. I mean, he's got a good goal. Like, let's celebrate. But he's trying to clump himself with them.
Yeah.
He should just say, I've had a lot of opportunities given to me and I want to use this to promote people who don't have that. But instead he's like, I'm oppressed. And also, these other people are oppressed, but I'm also oppressed. So
I'm one of you.
Well, probably, you know, I'm sure he's speaking of his own, you know, experience because he probably was a sissy boy.
I'm sure it was so hard to have women adore you from the moment you're on the scene and then to get multiple record deals.
But as a little kid, hold on a second. You know what I mean? When he was like six, 7, 8 years old, what was that life like for him?
A lot of those child actors and dancers were bullied in high school and elementary school. And when they got on the Mickey Mouse Club, a lot of their parents kept them in public schools. I was hearing about this the other day, and Britney Spears was like attacked and bullied and punched around. And finally, the parents, the producers of the Mickey Mouse Club were like, you guys got to get your children into private schools or get private tutors because you can't put our assets. We're investing money in marketing these kids, and these kids are out in spaces where they can be physically assaulted. And so it, you know, I imagine that Justin Timberlake might, when he got on the Mickey Mouse Club, may have been actually, you know, harassed quite
that
a bit.
Same thing.
Yeah.
So. But there is a certain amount of appropriation, but I think he kind of, he owns up to it.
I think it was like good intention, but it just,
hey, he tried to save MySpace, he failed.
But I don't think he's coming out. I think he was just trying to, he's trying
maybe
to
baby tap steps.
I think a lot of Hollywood is realizing like, oh, the public wants you to be quote unquote woke. They want you to be educated about what's going on in the world and to not live in your little Hollywood bubble. And so I think a lot of celebrities are kind of trying to get on that train of like, well, I can make a speech, so I'm going to try and like promote people, try and promote minority groups, going to try and promote something positive. And so I think this is just another example of that.
Well, with all these people trying to get woke, I want to send a public service announcement for naps. My mother, when we were kids and my mother would see a kid crying or some teenager having a temper tantrum, she'd be like, they just need to take a nap.
Faustum, that kid needs a nap.
That needs a nap. You need to go take a nap.
Naps sounds great.
And you know,
naps
as an adult, in hindsight, a lot of this depression, loneliness and sadness, you know, there's a lot of things you can't do, but it don't cost a dime to lay on your bed and take a nap.
But also, too, if you sleep too much, that can cause depression.
Yeah, but I would say a lot of Americans don't, you know, they get on their smartphones, they watch television, they do stuff, you know, and they feel like the solution to a problem is doing something. And sometimes the best solution is just
to relax,
chill out,
work out, suck a dick.
I mean, capitalism says do something. Capitalism's like, what are you doing? Where are you working? Why aren't you working more? Why aren't you working more than your neighbor and your best friend and your mom?
Relax.
But you don't actually have to work that much. Just if you can support yourself, don't go over the edge. If you have the means to be healthy, then do it. Don't overexert yourself.
I think, Alex, you could use a nap right now.
Yeah, I could use a nap right now. You just gave me some tea. I'm like,
caffeine,
I'm feeling it.
Red Bull. Kind of
later in the evening. I mean, well, Foster will take a nap at 10 o'clock at night.
Really?
So I'll take a nap at 10
any
or 11.
Time is a good time for a nap.
Because I'm going to get up, be up later, so why not? And I guess
sometimes I've done it before drag shows. Like, I'll take a nap at like 6 or 7. Well, because I have to start getting in drag. If the show's at 10, I'll start at like 7.
So, guys, I want to remind the listeners that Feast of Fun is made possible because of financial support of people like you. You gorgeous people who, after 13 years, for some inexplicable reason, still listen to this demented, insane, one-of-a-kind, award-winning podcast. And we thank you so much for your financial support, for your love and affection, and your friendship. And the best way you can demonstrate that is by going to feastoffun.com/plus and become a member, because this is like clean water in your faucet. It comes in, but you can't take it for granted. You got to make sure that it happens.
That it's running, that it's there.
And someone has a problem with the account.
Just email me at mail@feastoffun.com and let me know, and we'll try and sort it out together. Because, you know, sometimes the it can be a little wonky. So if you had a membership that expired and you're having difficulty renewing it, I can help you there. I'm there. Contact me on Facebook, whatever you want. And we can get it sorted together. I also want to tell people, too, to visit our store, feastoffun.com/store, and get yourself a t-shirt. It's another great way to support the show.
Three fast things I want to mention before we wrap things up. The TV show When We Rise, that chronicles the rising of gay rights movement, is not doing well in the ratings. So please watch it. They're blaming. But what I don't like is that the producers of the series are blaming you, Alex, and your young generation, the millennials, for not watching.
You know, we're horrible, terrible people who don't care about anything except Facebook.
But the reason that they're not watching it is because it's on television, on ABC, and you can't watch it on Netflix. You get an ABC membership, and it's like you got to put in your Comcast.
I think it's also on Hulu or something. Like,
put it online. We live online.
It's a bunch of obstacles, and it's really hard to get to it.
I'm hearing it's very slow paced, and a lot of people are being like, everything that they do is kind of like, they're just kind of like, this is a really important moment. This is really like trying to draw attention to that moment. So
Alex, will you be watching When We Rise? Probably not.
Probably not. I'm going to be honest. I mean, I took a class on LGBTQ history for a reason. Mm-hmm. So
what'd you learn?
I learned quite a bit.
What surprised you the most?
I enjoyed talking about like transgender and bisexual pirates. That was a good time.
Ooh.
Yeah. Or learning about
like back in colonial
like
era
pirates or
like this one pirate. We're not sure because, of course, we didn't have the term transgender. We didn't have, you know, we don't have the language we have today, but a pirate who would present, people think would present as male, had a female lover. Yeah. But then there was like this other male pirate that they would kind of be like a little threesome. Mm-hmm. They would conquer the seas. It was also just nice getting the rundown about Stonewall, obviously. You want to know?
Do you know what a pirate's preferred pronoun is? Arr. We actually met. I shouldn't have said preferred that wasn't pronoun. Me. It's you're just supposed to say pronoun. But we actually knew some people that identified as pirates, and that was their pronoun.
The new Orlando City Stadium in the city of Orlando, in order to pay tribute to the 49 people who died at the Pulse shooting. They're putting up 49 rainbow colored seats, but technically they're not exactly 49 because the purple stripe is actually just the rest of the purple seats. So they have them red, orange, yellow, green, and blue, and then the purple's kind of part of the rest of the area.
That's sweet.
Yeah, but it's really nice. And so it's a permanent gay section in a stadium.
I wonder if people are going to be like, I'm not sitting in the gay seats.
Yeah, I wonder if that's going to happen. Or if people don't want to sit there because they kind of want to like leave that space as like a, we don't want to fill it because it's supposed to be filled with like the memory of those people.
Man, I want to party in the gay section.
So, Alex, what did we learn on today's show?
We learned about dildos.
About the main thing.
I'm just kidding. So we learned that it's hard to make friends in our community. Okay. We need to stop determining success on this idea of being tall, masculine, and white and making money. Variety is good in your life. Try and find friends in spaces that are not like dark nightclubs. Mm. Find your people. Be open-minded.
I'd like to leave people with some lyrics from World Click, if I may, from Delight.
Oh, yes. Lady Miss Keir Kirby's band.
We don't need a click to make our clock tick. Our click is the world. The world is our click. We don't have to fit in your fixed trip. Our click is the world. The world is our trip. World Click.
Delight. And I think that song has the sound of a car aerial going up and down.
Oh, from in World Click?
I think so, yeah.
I'll have to listen to it after we stop the podcast.
The movie Get Out, go see it. People are saying that it's probably going to get an Oscar nominations.
We'll be talking about that tomorrow with Zach Stafford.
Go see Get Out. Mm-hmm. Go see Get Out. Go see Get Out. Alex K., you're okay.
Yeah, I'm cool.
You're awesome.
I'm all right.
And people can follow you on social media.
You can follow me on Instagram at Butch Queen. That's BUTCHQWEEN. And I mean, that's it. I mean, you can add me on Facebook, but and then I'm going to have to like figure out that just follow me on Instagram.
You're making things so hard to be your friend.
come to my shows. I am a cast member of Squad Goals. That is the fourth Tuesday of every month at 10 o'clock at Berlin Nightclub. I'm also a cast member, recent cast member of Geek House. And that is our cosplay variety show every fourth Friday of the month at Berlin. And that is also at 10 p.m. So yeah, come out, come hang. If I can leave you guys with one thing about today's podcast, if you are a person who has the ability to make friends and to bring people into the community, do it. There are a lot of lonely gays, and if you can help, please do it.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Bye.